Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev and Daf Dalet. We're in Daf Gimel Beis at the last line, and we'll move to discussing the concept of measuring with an Amma. Abaye taught us that there are two different types of Ammas. Now, an Amma is generally comprised of Tfachim, the fists. So a fist consists of four etzbois lying side by side. Now, how many tfachim are contained in an amma? So Abaye tells us sometimes we have the five tefach amma, and sometimes we have a six tefach amma. Which one do we apply? Depending on the situation. Whichever one will result in a chumra. For instance, when we're discussing the height of the sukkah, or the height of the mavi, which is a maximum of 20 ammas, we're going to employ the smaller amma. So once you've reached the 20 ammas, using the smaller amma, you've reached your maximum height. When it comes to kalayim, we're measuring the area which is required to allow planting. In this case, we employ the amma, which has six tefachim, so we require a large area to allow planting. So we go to chumra. Rava told us that all ammas that the chacham discussed actually consist of six tefachim. So they're all created equal, except that there's a difference in the result of the size of the amma based on how close those fingers are going to be lying next to each other. Meaning the tefach can either be a generous, a loose tefach, or a tight, a fastened, a constricted tefach. The Gemara calls the amma an amma seichik, an amma oitziv, or atziv. So seichik means smiling, generous, loose, easygoing. And the atzivis are those ammas which are sad, depressed, and constricted. The Mefarshim explained the difference between one and the other is very minor. It's actually only a half a etzba, so the width of a half a finger. That is the difference between the amma which is seichik and the amma which is atziv. So again, according to Abaye, we employ either a 6 tefach amma or a 5 tefach amma, depending on the situation. According to Rava, we employ the 6 tefach amma in all situations which the Chacham discussed, except the difference will be whether it's going to be a generous amma or a more restricted amma, and which one are we going to apply, depending on the situation, depending which one results in a chumra. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that certainly the Chacham knew the exact measurement of the Amma, but they were concerned that perhaps if we're going to be exact, then a person might actually undermeasure, miss the proper measurement, so therefore they require him to add a bit more, either to turn it into a 6 tefach Amma, or, according to Rava, a generous 6 tefach Amma to cover all bases to make sure that he measured properly. Continues the Gemara on the bottom line of Gimel Amud Beis. Meisvei, we have a kasha from our Braisa, which seems to teach us, unlike Abaye's Shita, call Amish Amr Chacham, all the Amish that the Chacham discussed, the Amavas Shisha, is an Amish which consists of six Tvachim, provided that they're not all equal, meaning we take the six Tvach Amma, sometimes we have a generous one, the Seichekais, and sometimes we have the Atsevais, depending on the situation. By Sukkah and Mavi, we'll use the Atsevais, the smaller six Tvach Amma. By Kalayim, we'll use the broader, generous six tefach amma. So this works well according to Rava, that all ammas have six tefachim. Bishlei milu Rava. So this is good according to Rava, ki hechi. The lehavian halol is seichekais, halol atzeiwis. When the Braisa says they're not mechuvanites, they're not all exactly equal, it simply means to say that this six tefach amma sometimes is a bit generous, and sometimes It's a bit sad and constricted, depending on whether it's Sukkah, Mava, or Kalayim. But all Amis have six Tvachim. Elal Abaye Kasha. But according to Abaye, it's a Kasha, because the Braisa clearly says that we only use a Am which consists of six Tvachim, and not five. Amal Chabaye. So Abaye will respond. Ema, you should learn the Braisa as follows. Amas Kalayim, ba'ama bas shisha. The Braisa here is specifically speaking about the measurements regarding Kalayim, which indeed employ an amma of six tefachim. When it comes to the other types of measurements, sukkah mavi, we're going to apply an amma of five tefachim. Says Mar, how could you say this pshat in the Braisa? From the Tani Sefer, if we take a look at the next part of the Braisa, which says Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he seems to disagree with the Tanakam, and he says, kol amma is she'amr chachamim, big kalayim, all the ammas that the chachamim apply to kalayim, ba'amma bas shisha, is an amma which has six tefachim, ubavad shelo yu mitzumtzumis, provided that this amma which has six tefachim is not mitzumtzum, it's not exact, it's broad and generous, meaning It's employing the tefachim which are loose. It's an amma which is soichik. So the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, well, the amma of six tefachim is meant to be applied strictly to kalayim, and he's coming to disagree with the Tanakama, who seems to say otherwise. Because why would he be arguing if there's no disagreement? So apparently the Tanakama is indicates otherwise. He holds that the amma of six tefachim is going to be applied everywhere, all over, not only by kalayim. Mechlal the Tanakama sa kol amas kamer. Apparently Tanakama holds that all ammas will employ this six tefach amma. And that's why Reb Shimon responds and says, no, only by kalayim is one meant to apply the amma which has six tefachim. So the Tanakama, which holds otherwise, seems to contradict Abaye. Tanakama says all ammas have six tefachim, unlike Abaye. Says the Gemara, Amalach Abaye. So Abaye will respond, okay. V'lav mi'ika, Reb Shimon Gamliel, the koi kavasi. Do I not have Reb Shimon Gamliel, who concurs with me? I know the Amri, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Okay, I'm going to be compatible with his shita. That is, that the amma of six tefachim is only applied to kalayim and not to sukkah and to mavi. So indeed, according to Abaye, there's a machlekes tanaim. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that the amma of six tefachim is applied to kalayim and not to the other places, as opposed to the Tanakama, who maintains that all ammas are ammas ba'shisha tefachim. Says more la'abayi vadi tanoi. Okay, indeed, according to Abaye, there's a machlekes tanaim. L'rava milema tanoi. But according to Rav, are we really forced to say that it's a machlekes tanoim here? That Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that sometimes we employ an amma bas chamisha, sometimes an amma bas shisha, and he disagrees with the Tanakama, who holds that all ammas are meant to contain six tefachim? Or perhaps should we say that he's merely coming to explain the words of Tanakama? He's not coming to disagree at all. Tanakama began the braisa by saying all ammas discussed by the Chachamim consist of six tefachim, and Tanakama added a few words. This is on the top of the amud. Ubelvad shaloyu mechuvanos. Now, what do you mean to say by that? He meant to say that sometimes there's a difference in the size within the ammas that contain six tefachim. Sometimes it's a soichik, it's a generous, loose amma. Sometimes it's an oitzev, it's a small, restricted amma. So within six tefachim, you can have two sizes. But he didn't elaborate, he didn't explain where you apply this one and where you apply the other one. And that's why Shimon comes to add, and he says, look, we're meant to use it lechumra. That's why by kalayim, we use the broader one. But certainly he's not coming to disagree with Tanakama in any way. All agree that the amma has six tefachim. Rav Shimon Gamliel is merely coming to explain that when do we use the larger, the more looser and generous six tefach amma, the amma which is soichik, by kilayim, because it comes out of chumrah. So that's the Gemara's question. Can we say that pshat, which will avoid the machlekes, and therefore according to Rava, all agree that the amma has six tefachim? Says the Gemara, l'rava milei tanahi. Are we forced to say that it's a machlekes tanahim, or perhaps he's merely come to explain the words of Tanakama? Amalach Rava, indeed, there's no machlekes. Rav Shimon Gamliel, ha'oslash mi'inon, he's merely coming to teach us, amas kelaim le'itzamtzim. And when it comes to measuring kelaim, we're meant to use the more generous amma. But certainly all agree that an amma contains six tefachim, and there's no machlekes. Says the Morris, that's the case. Why doesn't Rav Shimon Gamliel simply state that? Why does he need to go into this great detail? And he says that all ammas of kelaim have six tefachim, which seems to indicate that not all times do we employ the amma of six tefachim. For instance, by sukkah and mavi, we're not going to use the amma of six tefachim. That's what it sounds from his words, because he's so marach, he elaborates in such great detail. Why doesn't he simply say, if he's merely coming to explain Tanakama's words, he should simply say, well, the amma of kalayim is the generous amma. Vilema, why doesn't he simply say, amma's kalayim leitzamtzim? That the amma employed by kalayim is an amma which is not mitzumtzum. He can't restrict an amma. He has to use a generous amma. If that's all he's coming to say. Ba'amma bas shisha l'mutimai. When he elaborates and he says that kalayim uses an amma of six, what is he coming to exclude by saying that? It appears that he's coming to say, well, only kalayim will use the amma of six tefachim, but otherwise not. For instance, mavoi and sukkah will not use an amma bas chamisha, but rather amma bas shisha, but rather amma bas chamisha. Lav l'muti amma sukkah. Amas Mavi, isn't he coming to exclude the amma used by the sukkah and the mavi, which will use an amma of chamisha tefachim? So it seems that he indeed does disagree with Tanakama. That's more no, loy. He's not coming to exclude Mavoi or Sukkah. He agrees that in all those cases, we measure using an Amabash Shisha Tfacha. What then is he coming to exclude? He's coming to exclude cases where all Shitas agree, even Rava agrees, that we use an Amabash Chamisha Tfacha, as the Pasuk tells us to do. Lemute Ami Yisoid, the Amma employed in measuring the base of the Mizbeach, Ba'ama Soiviv, or the Amma, which is the walkway around the Mizbeach, which were measured using an Amma. What type of Amma? A small Amma. An Amma of 5 Tfachim. That's what Rav Shimon Amliel is coming to exclude. But certainly, both Shitas, Tanakama and Rav Shimon agree that generally speaking, the Amma has 6 Tfachim. Tichseva, as you find in the Pasuk, that there were actually four times in the Beis HaMikdash that we use the Amma Bas Chamisha Tfachim. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, describing the measurement of the Mizbeach, Ve'elu Midois HaMizbeach. These are the measurements of the Mizbeach. Ba'amois, using amois, amma v'toifach. So generally speaking, the Mizbeach was measured using a large size amma, an amma which has 6 tefachim, and within that amma of 6 tefachim, you can fit in a small amma of 5 tefachim, plus a tefach, right, that equals 6. So those amois, measuring the rest of the Mizbeach, employed large size amois. What type of amois? Amma v'toifach, an amma which had a small amma with a tefach in it. So that's regarding the rest of the Mizbeach. But there were 4 locations in which they used a small amma, an amma of 5 tefach. What were they? Number 1, v'cheka amma. The Gemara soon will explain. V'cheka amma, that's number 1. V'amma roichav, that's number 2. Ugvula el svasa saviv zeres echa, that's the 3rd area. And v'zeg av Mizbeach, that's the 4th area. Explains the Gemara. Cheka amma is referring to as a yisoid. This is the base of the Mizbeach, which was measured using a 5 tefach amma. The second place was Va'ama Roichav Zesoivev. This is the walkway, which was built into the Mizbeach, and we measured using a 5 tefach amma. Ugvula Sfasa Saviv Ela Kronos. This is describing the corners built into the Mizbeach. And finally, a 4th location with Vezekav Mizbeach is referring to Zemizbeach Mizbeach Azov, the golden Mizbeach, the portable Mizbeach, which was placed in the Heichal, which was built using the small size amma of 5 tefach. So in summary, we discussed the different types of amos, which are used to measure things, according to Abaye. And he says this is the Shita of Shimon Gamliel. When it comes to Sukkah and Mavoi, we measure using a 5 tefach amma. When it comes to Kalayim, we use a 6 tefach amma. And that amma is meant to be the amma soichik, the generous amma using generously placed fingers when it comes to measuring the tefach. Rava maintains that all agree that generally an amma is meant to have 6 tefachim, even Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel both agree to that. Shimon Gamliel is merely coming to explain Tanakam. Sometimes we employ a tefach soichik, sometimes it's a tefach otziv, depending on the situation. By Sukkah and Mavi, we use a more narrow amma. When it comes to Kalayim, we use an amma seichik, a more generous, a looser amma, which results in a larger amma, and this results in a chumra. Now all agree, when it comes to the following 4 elements, we employ a small amma, an amma which has 5 tefachim. Those 4 things are the yisoid of the mizbeach, the soiviv, the kronos, and the mizbeach hazav. Continues the Gemara. Om Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, Shi'urin chatzitzin u'machitzin. These 3 things, halacha Moshe Sinai, were taught us through Moshe, accepted from Sinai. Let's take a look at Rashi. 10 lines from the bottom. Shi'urin. What is this? These are the measurements. Shi'urin shenasnu chacham l'chol davar. The chachamim applied to all different types of things. Kagoyin, for instance, kazayis dam. What is the size, the volume of dam, which is asam in Torah? A kazayis of dam. A kazayis of chelev. Pigel, v'noiser, all these different various forbidden foods. So if a person eats a kazayis, he gets malchus. A kazayis from a mace, shemetama b'oil. And a kazayis size of a mace, which parts tuma under a roof, a shash urim, the first come on, and likewise all the other, various other shiurim measurements, which will be described soon in the Gemara. So that's number 1. The shiurim was given halacha Moshe Sinai. What's the second thing on the list? Chatzitzin. Chatzitza b'selos v'tfila. A barrier, something which is sitting on a person's skin, preventing the water from actually touching it when he's tevel the mikvah. The fact that this disqualifies a tefillah, this was learned halacha Moshe Masinai. And the third thing on the list is mechitzen, hilchas mechitza. The halacha is a partition shteik boya asara, that the minimum height of a mechitza needs to be 10 fachim. V'chein sh'ar hilchaseo. Likewise, all other halachas of mechitzas, halacha Moshe Masinai, were taught us in the name of Moshe who accepted it by Sinai. So again, says the Gemara, shi'urin chatzitzen mechitzen, halacha Moshe Masinai. Says the Gemara, is that the case? That they were taught through Moshe Mitzinai, Torah Shabbat Peh, Shi'urin Doi Raisuhu. The various measurements seem to be included in Torah Shabbat Chassav in the Pasuk. Why do we need it to be taught through Torah Shabbat Peh? The Chassivah, the Pasuk says, describing the Shiva Saminim, the seven special species, which Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, Eretz Chita V'Soira, V'Gefen, U'Tein V'Rimoin, Eretz Yishem V'Dvash. So the Pasuk gives us a list of the Shiva Saminim, which was special and unique for Eretz Yisrael. The point and purpose of this pasuk is to describe the shvach, the praise of Eretz Yisrael. Look, even the fruits, the produce of Eretz Yisrael, are used in the context of halacha to measure various measurements pertaining to halachas. Says the Gemara, chita, the wheat is going to be measured for the following halacha. Look at this. Not as we learned in the Mishnah. Nichnas lebayis ha-menuga. If one enters a home which has a nega, the halacha is that he becomes tameh immediately upon entry. The same thing regarding a chayfetz, an object, which enters that home. Now what if he's carrying the clothing on him, meaning he's wearing his clothing? Then a different halacha applies. Then he must remain in that home long enough for a shir suda to complete a meal. He doesn't actually need to eat, but needs to wait that time frame of a shir suda. And only then do the begadim that he's wearing become tameh. Says the Mishnah, Nechas l'bayis ha-menuga. If one enters a bayis ha-menuga which has a nega, v'keilav al k'seifav, and he's carrying his begadim, his clothing on his shoulder, he's not wearing them. V'sandolav, v'tabayisav b'yodav, and his sandals, his rings, are sitting in his hand, meaning he's not actually wearing them. Then we treat them like ordinary objects, and they become tameh immediately upon entry. Who? V'heim, this fellow and the objects that he's carrying, tameh miyad, become tameh immediately upon entry. But if he's wearing them, then a different halacha applies. Haya lavush kelav. If he was wearing his garments, v'sandola b'raglav, and his sandals, his shoes sitting on his feet, v'tabo'isav b'etzbo'isav, and he's wearing his rings on his fingers, in which case we regard them as begadim, as malbushim, they're bottled to him, they have a different halacha. Hu tameh miyad. This fellow will become a tameh immediately upon entry to the home. V'hein tahir, but they remain tahir until he waits a while, at sheyisha, until he waits around, v'chdech las pras, the time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. Rashi explains this loaf contains 2 sudais worth, so pras is half of that loaf, which is the amount of 1 su'uda. So if he waits in the home, as long as it takes for a person to eat this amount, which is a shir su'da, this is learned from a pasuk, this is long enough to make the clothing on this person tameh as well. Now when we speak about this half a loaf of bread, what is this bread made of? What type of ingredients? Is it wheat? Is it barley? Says the Mishnah, pas chitim v'lo pas so'ir. We're speaking about a bread made of wheat flour, not so'ir made of barley. Rashi says the wheat flour, the bread made of wheat is eaten quicker, so it's actually a chumrah, it's less time. Masiv, we measure it based on a person eating it reclined, in which case he's focusing on his meal and he's not dilly-dallying, he's not taking his time, it's a shorter amount of time. Voicha beliftan, eating it with some sort of relish, some sort of accompaniment to the bread, which assists in the eating, and it's eaten quicker in this manner. So the chita, the wheat, is used to measure this shear of the bayis ha-menuga, the bread made of wheat. So'ira, where do we apply the concept of the measurement of a sa'ira to halacha? This is not as we learned in the Mishnah, etzam ka-sa'ira, a piece of bone which is merely the size of a barley. That's the minimum of size of the bone to have the ability to impart tumah to metame, b'maga, b'masa, to transfer tumah through direct touching or through carrying. So that's the minimum size of an etzam, the size of a sa'ira of a barley. So we apply the concept of barley to halacha. So it's metameh b'maga masa ve'en metameh b'oil, and doesn't have the ability to transfer tumah through the tumas oil through the same roof. If somebody's sitting under the roof with this etzem, he doesn't receive tumah from the etzem. So it's a limited tumah. And the shear is based on the Torah. Where do we apply the concept of a gefen to a shear? Gefen is kedei revius yayin lenazir. What it means is that a nazir, a person who undertook a vow not to eat, drink wine, he's not allowed to even eat grapes. How much grapes? What is the shear? That's based on revius yayin, the amount of grapes which equal a revius halug of wine. That is the shear in which he would get malchus if he eats while he's a nazir. So he says this applies to the grapes or even parts of the plant of the grapevine. So the shear is measured according to wine, meaning it has to equal the revius of wine. So we see the concept of gefen, of a vine, of grapes, which applies to the halacha. Te'ena, where do we see that a te'ena, a fig, is applied to halacha? Ki goigris, let's say, on Shabbos, when it comes to measuring the shear for liability of hitzah on Shabbos, when it comes to oichlin, if a person carries food stuff out, something that's edible to a person, what is the minimum shear? It needs to be the size of goigris of a dried fig. So we see that a fig is applied to halacha. Remind, where do we see that a pomegranate, the size of a remind is applicable to halacha, the snan, as we learned, called clay bali batim. So these clay bali batim are these wooden utensils which a ordinary homeowner uses. And he's more makbid on his kelim. He doesn't simply discard them when they get a small hole. If it gets a small hole, so he'll use it for a larger size item. If it gets even a bigger hole, he's going to use it for larger objects, up to a point. Says the Mishnah, kol klei bali batim shiurim kirimoinim. So if it gets a hole the size of a rimoin, in this case it's already batel, it's no longer regarded as a utensil, and it's no longer tamid. So we see that the size of a rimoin is applicable to Allah. The pasuk concludes, eretz zeh shemen advash. We learn from here, eretz, a land, shekol shiurim kazeisim, all these shiurim of the Torah. For instance, the Isra of Chel of Dam, or these forbidden foods, or Tumah of Nevela, all these things are measured using the volume of a Zayas. Says, well, what do you mean, all the Shurim? Kol Shurim Sakadaitach, all the Shurim of the Torah? But Ikahani Damar, what about all these that we just mentioned, that are unrelated to Kazayas? Ella, rather, Ema, say, Eret Shiroiv Shirei Kazayasim, a land, who most of the Shurim of the Torah are related to with the volume of the zayis. So Rashi says the achila of chelav, of dam, of noiser, pigel, tame, the shear of nevela, behemetzmei, basar ames. Many halachas in the Torah are dependent on the shear of kazayis. And finally, the pasuk says this is the seventh of the shivas haminim. Eretz Shemen udvash. Dvash here is speaking about not honey from a honeycomb, but rather it's referring to dates which produce honey. So dvash is employed in halacha as follows. Kikoseves hagasa v'yom kippurim. Where do we have the measurement of a date? When it comes to Yom Kippur, a person is only chayv if he eats an amount of food which equals the volume of a kiseves hagasa, which is a large sized date. So we see that a date applies to halacha. So in any case, we have a kasha. Because we began the Gemara that the concept of shiurim, the various measurements, were taught halacha l'moshe misina, Torah shebaaleh. Here we have a pasuk, which gives us a list of all the shiurim. It's Torah shebichsav. So why do we need to learn it from halacha l'moshe misinai? Says Rav Tisba, do you really think so? Shiurim michtav ksivi? Are the shiurim actually listed in this pasuk and described in detail? No. It's merely a pasuk describing shivas haminim. How do we know all the details of the measurements? El hilchasaninu. Actually, it is based on halacha l'moshe misinai. All these shiurim, for instance, that Yom Kippur is connected to a large date, etc. This was taught through Moshe Misinai. Vasmechin, Rabbanah Kroid, Rabbanah took those shiurim and supported it with the psukim, meaning they related it to these items found in this pasuk. But certainly, the pasuk on its own doesn't really teach us much about the detailed shiurim. And certainly, we need to learn it, halacha Moshe Misinai. So that explains the first item on the list, shiurim, chatzitzin, mechitzin, shiurim, meaning all these measurements which were taught through Moshe Misinai. What was the next thing on that list? Chatzitzin. Those barriers during tefillah. A person has something which is preventing the water from coming into contact with his skin. The tefillah, his immersion is pasul. Says the Gemara, chatzitzin d'oraisa. That also is learned from a pasuk. Why do we need halacha l'moshe misinai? D'chsiv, as the pasuk says. V'rachatz eskol psoroi b'mayim. We learn from here like this. Shelo yedover chotzitz v'msoro l'mayim. We learn from here the fact that the pasuk says, v'rachatz is called psoroi, his flesh, Why does the pasuk need to explain it in such great detail? His flesh. It's teaching us that it must be a direct contact between his basar, his skin, and the water. Shaloye davar choytes. There can't be anything, any interposition, any barrier, which is preventing the water from reaching his skin. Shaloye davar choytes mimsar lamay. That's the first thing we learn. From the word psar, we learn that he cannot have a chatzitz. What do we learn from ba'mayim? B'mei mikvah. He's meant to immerse in a mikvah. Ba'mayim, the known waters. The water which is stationary in place. He's going into a mikvah. Rashi explains the water can't be in motion. It can be on the move. He needs to go into this very unique, very specific type of water which is sitting in one place. It's a mikvah. The third thing we learn from this pasuk is kol. Kol psar. The pasuk says, Rachas, it's kol psar. What's the point of kol? His entire basar? This teaches us. He must be going in all at once. He can't do it incrementally. He can't put it in his foot and then his hand. Kol b'sari. We learn from here that the mikvah needs to be large enough to allow his whole body to enter at once. Mayim shekol gufo yoilben. Since he needs to do it all at once, the mayim needs to be large enough to allow his whole body to be toivel in them. V'kamein. Now, how much is it? What is the shear of a mikvah? Amal amma brum gimel amis. Because the width of a person is an amma. So the mikveh needs to accommodate the person. Therefore, the mikveh likewise needs to be an amma on amma, meaning an amma length, an amma width, brum gimel amis, at a height of 3 amma to allow a person to enter. So that's the size of the space of the mikveh. Now, how much water? Veshiru chachamim. The chacham estimated, based on this dimension, mei mikveh mem saw. The mei mikveh needs to have 40 saw, which is the quantity of water which fits into this location, an area at whole which is amma amma, at a height of 3 amma. So you see clearly from this pasuk that a chatzitza is unacceptable. So why do we need halacha l'moshe m'Sinai to teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara, ki itzri chichasa. You know why we need halacha? L'sa'are. To come and tell us that even when there's a chatzitza on a person's hair, which is not the primary part of the person, it's secondary, it's an outgrowth of the person. Perhaps chatzitza on the person's hair is not so significant and doesn't invalidate the tefillah. That's what the halacha is coming to teach us. Halacha Mishnah Sinai, that even a chatzitza which is present on a person's hair makes the tefillah a puzzle. Uka de Rabba Rav Huna, as he taught us, de Omar Rabba Rav Huna. Nima achas kshura chaytzetzis. There's one hair which is self-tied, so it's a self-knot. One hair in itself. Chaytzetzis. That makes chatzitza because the water can't really enter into that knot. One hair which is tied into itself creates a firm, a tight knot, which prevents water from entering. Shalosh, what if there are 3 hair which are tied into each other? Einan chaytzes, don't make a chatzitza because they can't be so tightly wound around each other, and early some water will enter, and there's no chatzitza. Shtayim in yadeh, what if there are 2 hair tied with each other? I'm not sure what halacha there is, because perhaps it's not as tight as 1, but perhaps it's not as loose as 3, so we don't know exactly whether or not it poses a chatzitza. So you see clearly that the concept of chatzitza applies to seyar, to a person's hair. The Gemara at this point figures that that is what the point of the Halacha Shina was, to teach us that chatzitza applies even to one's hair. Says the Gemara, that's also learned from a pasuk. The pasuk, which we just said, sa'ari nami d'iraisu, even a person's hair that needs to be free of chatzitzas, that is learned from the pasuk. The sani as we learned. V'rochatz es kol b'sorei. Why does the pasuk say the word es? Es is generally coming to add something. It's coming to teach us. Es ha-tofel b'sorei. That even the hair which is tofel, which is secondary to a person's flesh, v'zeo seir, that's referring to a person's hair, that there as well, a chatzitza cannot be present. So it's a pasuk. Why do we need a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? So summary from this pasuk, we have 4 things that we learn. Number 1, we learn there can't be any chatzitza, not on the flesh, and not on his hair. Number 2, he needs to go into a mikveh, which is stationary. Number 3, the mikveh is stationary. Number 4, it needs to be all at once. He can't go in part by part. So in any case, we learn that a sayar can't have chatzitza from the pasuk. Why is the halacha needed for that? Says Morkei Asoy Hilchasa. You know what the halacha is coming to teach us? It's coming to give us the exact details of the halachas of chatzitza. It's coming to teach us that a chatzitza will only be considered a chatzitza if it has 2 elements. Number 1, on account of its large size. It needs to be roiv. It needs to encompass most of the person's body. It needs to be a large size chatzitza to be considered significant enough to pose a problem. Number two, he has to have a personal dislike for the presence of this thing. He has to be distressed about this dirt that's sitting on him. So both elements need to combine, need to come together. And only then is it considered to be a chatzitza min haTorah. So that's the point of Lachem Mishnah Sinai, to give us those details, to explain to us, to elaborate to us, how exactly a chatzitza forms. Says Merki Asoy Hilchasa. You know what Allah is coming to teach us? L'rubay ulami utay. When it's roiv, or it's only miut of the body, ula makpid. When a person is makpid on it, ula she'ein makpid, when he's not makpid. Meaning, it's coming to teach us that you need to conform. It needs to have two elements in order to be a chatzitza. Ukhtar Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak taught us, Dvar Torah, Dvar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Minat Torah, meaning Halacha Meshem Sinai, you need to have two elements. Rubay u makpid ulav chaitz. Only when both factors are present. Number one, it's rubay, it's encompassing most of a person's body. It's such a large size chatzitza. Or as Rashi says, most of a person's hair. And number two, makpid ulav. He's personally distressed about it. He dislikes the fact that it's there. So both things come together. On account of the significance of the thing itself, number two, on account of that personal disregard for it, rubay u makpid ulav chaitz. Only then is it considered to be a chatzitza. It can't be bottled to the person. It can't be regarded as part of his flesh. It's too big and significant. But if both elements aren't there, only one element is there, then min haTorah, there's no concern. V'she'eini makpid alav, eini chaitz. But if he's not makpid on it, then it's not chaitz, even if it's large and it's present over most of the person's body. There's no concern because he is not makpid on it. So again, both elements are required. Number one, he needs to be large in size. Number two, he has personal obligation to it. This is Minat Torah. Midr Rabbana, they said, even if only one element, only one factor is there, it is considered chatzitza. Whether if it's roiv, or if he's makpid, either one will constitute chatzitza midr Rabbana. Why? We're concerned that if we allow this, perhaps this will lead one to a chatzitza Minat Torah, where both elements are present. It says the Gemara, V'gozer Chachamim, they made a decree, al rubay she'ena makpid. When it's a large size chatzitza, even if he's not makpid, he couldn't care less that it's there. They said it's a chatzitza, don't be toivah with it. Why? Because this might lead to a person being toivah with a true chatzitza. Mishum rubi ha-makpid. He might lead to doing it even when he is makpid on it. In which case, since it's roiv and makpid, it's a chatzitza min haTorah. So therefore they said, even when he's not makpid, it's asur. Likewise, they said, even when he's makpid on just a small chatzitza, he shouldn't be toivah with that. Ve'al mi'utoy ha-makpid. When he's makpid, even when it's just a small size chatzitza, only is present on the small portion of a person's body, he shouldn't be toivel. Why? Because this might lead him to be toivel even when it's a real chatzitza. Mishum rubi ha-makpid. This might lead him to do a tvil even when it's rubi ha-makpid. Therefore they said, look, when it's rubai, don't be toivel. When it's makpid, don't be toivel. Because it might lead to him being toivel even when both elements are present together. Says the Rabbah, if they made this gzera, why don't they go a step further? Even when none of these factors are present, it's only miut, and he's not makvid, let them make a gzera. Why? Because if we allow him to be toivel, in this case, he'll say, well, look, if I'm not makvid, it's okay. So let's say it's a large size chatzitza, and I'm not makvid, it's also fine. So this will lead him to do that. And that is awesome in the Rabbanan. Or he may say, look, when it's miut and I'm not makpid, I can be toivel. So even when it's a miut and I am makpid, I'll be toivel as well, which is asam d'rabbanan. So there's always a concern that I might lead to the next step. Says the Gemara of the Ligzer Nami, Chachamim should also make a gzera, al miut she'ein makpid. When both elements are absent, it's miut and he's not makpid, it should also be asar. Why? Mishum miut ha-makpid. On account of miut ha-makpid, because it will be toivel. When he has a miut chain in makvid, he might be toivel even when the miut is makvid. He'll say, oh, miut is fine, it's just small, insignificant chatzitza, let me be toivel. And he won't realize, this is different because he's being makvid. Says one will lead to the next. Inami, or another concern will be, that if we allow him to be toivel when no elements are present, when it's miut and ain't a makvid, he might say, well, I see that kepeda is so significant, and the lack of kepeda negates the chatzitza, is not considered chatzitza because I'm not makvid. So I'll be toivel even when it's a large size chatzitza. Inami mishum rubei sheni makvid. I'll say, well, any makvid is a slow criterion that determines whether or not it's a chatzitza. So when I'm not makvid, I can be toivel even when it's a large size chatzitza, which is awesome. So why don't we say that even when it's miut, even when it's not makvid, when there are no elements present, it should be asr midrabban? Says the Gemara. Why is it asr? Why is it a chatzitza when one factor is present? That's not minatur. That's merely midrabbanon. The Rabbanon made a gzera lest he come to be toivel when both factors are present. So that in itself is a safeguard. He gufa gzera. That in itself is a safeguard for the deraisa. It's a fence around the din hatur. Vanan neko v'nigzer gzera gzera. Do you propose that we should get up and make a gzera to a gzera? To go a step further and say, well, even when none are present, no factors are there, it should be also, it should be a puzzle, it should be a chatzitza. For concern that it might lead him to be toivel, even when one element is there, which is asr midrabbanan, but that in itself is not really asr midrabbanan, it's only the rabbanan to safeguard the dinatura, which is strictly when two elements are present, it's roiv and it's makvid. Chacham never do that. They don't make a double safeguard, they fence around the fence. We know that the Rabbanon were given authority to make Zeris, the Pasuk says, to make a Mishmeris. And we learn from there, only a Mishmeris, a safeguard, one safeguard to the Torah. Chama there to protect the Torah. But you can't make a Mishmeris, limishmeris, as Rashi explains in Gemara Beitza, Daf Beis Amud Beis. So we don't make a double safeguard. So conclusion, min haTorah. When both elements are present, it is a large size chatzita rubai, and encompasses most of the person's body. And he personally dislikes the presence of this thing, he's distressed about it, he's makvid alav, only then is it significant enough and can be batel him as a chatzitza. It makes that barrier between the water and the person. But if only one element is present, either it's roiv or it's makvid, it's only asr midrabbanan. When no elements are present, it's mutzar midrabbanan. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 16 lines from the top, beginning with the words b'mayim b'mei mikvah. So we learn from the word b'mayim that it must be a mikvah water. Explains Rashi, mashma means that it's sitting stationary, it's not on the move, it's not flowing. It needs to go into the place of the mikvah. Therefore, it needs to be sitting stationary. Even though it's not live water, meaning it's not spring water, that's not necessary. The Pasuk doesn't say it needs to be spring water. So even rainwater is fine, provided that it's sitting in one place. From the word kol besari, we learn mashma kol besari ke'echad. He needs to go on all at once. He can't be toivel incrementally. The Gemara tells us that locha is coming to add that a chatzitza can pose a problem even if it's present on a person's hair. L'sa'ara should be possible by chatzitza. Uka de rabba, as Rabba taught us, dama rabba, chatzitza pesels b'seir. Chatzitza will disqualify when it's present even in one's hair. And it describes that locha as follows. Nima achas k'shura chaytzetzitz. If one hair is tied into itself, it poses a chatzitza, the motzi laduka shaper, since he could fasten it and tie it tightly, vein amayim nechlosen mekesha, and the water doesn't have the ability to go into this knot. So it poses a chatzitza. But shalish, three hair which are tied together, in and chaytitzos, don't pose a chatzitza, the loy mehatki shaper, since they don't get tied firmly, v'aylu bumayim, and water can get right in there. And the Gemara told us that the halacha meshem Sinai is coming to teach us the parameters of chatzitza. Dvar Torah halacha meshem Sinai v'Torah shebal peh is coming to teach us that there are two factors which need to join together to produce a chatzitza. Number one, rubai, majority, explains Rashi, roif sori, most of his hair. Shem yesh bo dvar chaytitz, if there's a dvar chaytitz in most of his hair, kigoyin dam yavish, dried blood, v'dyoy, dried ink, v'tit yavish, dried clay, v'zefes yavish, dried pitch, o'she kosher rubay achas achas. Well, most of his hair is tied a single hair at a time, which poses a chatzitza. Tosfos adds that this concept applies even to most of his body, meaning the chatzitza must encompass, must be present in most of a person's body. So that's number one. The first element is rubay. Number two, that personal negation and dislike to the presence of the chatzitza. Umak v'dolov, shemitz. He's distressed about the presence of this dirt in his hair. Only when those two factors come together, it is considered chatzitza v'nater. But if he is not makvid, v'she'ene makvid olav, then it's not a chatzitza. Why? Explains Rashi, the svar is, havike gufay. It's considered like his guf, it's bottled to him. Even if it's a large chatzitza, a large thing there that's taking place in most of his body, it's present berubai, it's not a chatzitza because he personally doesn't care that it's there. That's minatur. The Rabbanan said even one element poses chatzitza. V'gozru al rubai shein makbid. They said that if it's a large chatzitza, it's roiv. Although he's not makbid, we consider it a chatzitza. Why? Hoyil bavi roiv, since it has that roiv element. V'dami v'mixas the chatzitza deraisa. It is a bit similar to the chatzitza deraisa. Therefore, it is a chatzitza m'drabbanan. Likewise, if he's makbid, even it's so small in size, v'ami ute ha-makbid, it's also chatzitza hoyil v'dami le'bakbada, since it has a similarity to the chatzitza deraisa. Because in both cases, he's makbid. So since it has that one element that he's makbid, they were concerned this might lead to the other one. And they made a gzera v'gozru. Says Rashi, v'gozru lav alocha m'shmesinahu. This doesn't mean alocha m'shmesinah. A gzera m'drabbanon. It's merely m'drabbanon. V'rubi ha-makbid u'chodei. It's only when there's roiv and he's makbid. That is the chatzitza min ha-toyru who dahav alocha m'shmesinah. So in summary, regarding tvila, from the pasuk, we learn four things. V'rochatz, it's called psori b'mayim, we learn like this. V'rochatz es, that includes that even the sari, even a person's hair, which is secondary to the person, which is es, which is tafel to him, must be free of chatzitzes. From the word koil, we learn that he must immerse entirely all at once, kol gufa, and therefore the mikvah needs to accommodate the person all at once. From the word b'sari, we learn that it must be direct contact between person's flesh and the mikvah, the water, there can't be chatzitz. From b'mayim, we learn that it needs to go into a mikvah. The Lacha Meshavisina teaches us that a chatzitza is only if it contains both elements. Number one, it's a large chatzitza, roiv. Roiv of the body, roiv of the hair, according to Rashi. Number two, he's makbid. He's distressed about the presence of that chatzitza. Madrabbanan, even if one element is present, either roiv or makbid, is considered a chatzitza. Okay, let's get back to that list that we learned Halacha Meshavisina, Shi'ur, Chatzitza, and Mechitzin. Shi'ur being those measurements, Chatzitzin, the halachas of chatzitza. And finally, Mechitzin. The halachas are partitioning, for instance, that a mechitza needs to be at least 10 tefachim high to be considered a mechitza. Says the Gemara, we need to learn that from the Torah Shabbat Peh, halacha Meshim Sinai. Mechitza is the Raisa Ninu. We learn mechitza from our pasuk. The Omar Maaz we learned, Oroin Tisha, how high was the Oroin? It was 9 tefachim high because it was an Am and a half, an Am 6 tefachim. So 1 and a half times 6 is 9. So the Oroin was 9. Plus, it had a lid. V'kapiras tefach, it had a lid which was a tefach thick. Harakana sara. This gives us a total of 10 tefachim from the floor till the surface, the top surface of the aron. And we learn from here that a mechitza needs to be 10 tefachim high. How do we learn from here? Rashi explains because in the Gemara Sukkah, Rabbi Yossi tells us that the Shechina never descended, never came down all the way to the aretz. Now, the fact that the Shechina spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from the top of the aron indicates that was not considered to be Eretz, because it was 10 tefachim removed from the ground. So we see from there that the domain, the reshus of the Eretz, extends upward only up to the point of 10 tefachim. So therefore, when a person goes ahead and erects a mechitza, makes a wall between one reshus and the other, for instance, between Shusar Yoch and Shusar Rabim, how high must he go? He must go 10 tefachim to separate the two reshus. Because the point is that the reshus extends upward until 10 tefachim. So we learn this concept from the pasuk, from the Aray. We don't need to learn it from Halacha Meshim Sinai. Says the Gemara Leitzricha. Apparently, this derivation from Halacha Meshim Sinai is only needed according to Rabbi Yehuda. Leitzricha el Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar who told us, Amaz Binyan ba'Amar Bas Shisha. Rabbi Yehuda said as follows: when they built the Beis Hamikdash, they used the Amar which contained 6 tefachim. Amaz Kalim, however, when they crafted the Kalim, the various vessels, for instance, the Aron, ba'amah v'schamisha, they employ a smaller size amah, which contained only 5 tefachim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Aron was not 10 tefachim off the ground, because it was 1.5 amahs, and amah is merely 5 tefachim. So 1.5 times 5 is 7.5, plus the kaperes, which was another tefach, for a total of only 8.5 tefachim. So we can't learn any concept of the mechitza asorah from the Aron. So apparently, that's why we need Halacha Meshim Sinai to come teach us the halacha that a mechitza must be 10 tefachim high. Says the Gemara, Ulu Rameya de Amar, Kala Amis, Hayu Be'Noinios. But according to Rameya, who says that all Amis, meaning the ones used to measure the building, the structure of Beis HaMikdash. And likewise, the ones used to build the Kelim, were all these Beinani Amis, intermediate Amis. Rashi explains that it's a sixth of a Chama. Why is it called a Beinani? Because there was actually a larger Amma, as Rashi explains. So if the sixth Tefach Amma is employed when it comes to the building of the Aron, which leaves us a total of 10 Tefachim height, so we learn the Halacha of Mechitzah from there, why do we need Halacha Mishmei Sinai? Michael and Mema, what are we going to say? Says the Gemara, the Rav Meir, Kesoi Hilchasa, according to Rav Meir, the Hilchasa is coming to tell us other aspects of the Halacha of Mechitzah. L'gud, l'lavud, l'defin akuma. The Halacha Mishmei Sinai will come teach us other elements of Mechitzah. Good means slice off the mechitza and lift it, for instance. Let's say you have a mound in Rishis HaRabim, which is 10 tefachim high. But on top of the mound, on the surface above, there are no mechitzas enclosing it. That's considered Rishis HaYachid. Why? Because we view the walls, the sides of the mound, as though they're sliced off and lifted up above onto the surface, creating an enclosed area. So this is learned Halacha Mishmei Sinai. What is the second thing? Love it. Love it means an extension. So if you have a small hole in a wall, which is less than 3 tefachim, we ignore it. We don't reckon with that hole. It's not large enough to break that wall, to negate the wall. We view the wall as though it's extending over that hole and it's enclosing it. This is what we learned yesterday. If a sukkah features some puzzle schach around the perimeters of the schach near the walls, so if that schach is only less than 4 amos in width, then it's okay because we look at the wall, the doifen, as though it's akuma, as though it's slanting. The schach is considered to be part of that wall, and the wall is extending all the way to the middle of the sukkah, which contains schach kasher. So therefore, that schach puzzle doesn't invalidate the entire sukkah. This is a concept which is learned at Halacha Mishmei Sinai. So according to Rav Meir, the Halacha Mishmei Sinai of Mechitzim will come teach us these halachas. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's come to teach us these halachas, in addition to the halacha that Mechitzim needs to be 10 tefachim in height. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began discussing different types of amos. According to Abai, which fits with Rav Shimon Gamliel's view in the Braisa, the 5 tefach amma is employed by sukkah, by mavi. By kelayim, we use the 6 tefach amma. According to Rava, who's following both shittas, Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel, when it comes to sukkah, mavi, and kelayim, we employ the 6 tefach amma. The difference only will be that by sukkah, mavi, we use the more constricted amma, and by kelayim, the more generous amma. And the point here is that we go to chumrah in all cases, all agree, when it comes to certain elements, these soyde the mizbeach, these soyve the kronites and the chazav, we measure using an amma which merely contains 5 tefachim. We proceeded with the pasuk describing the shiva saminim. The Gemara told us that every one of them can be applied to a measurement pertaining to a halacha. We proceeded with the halachas of chatzitza by tvila. We learned it from a pasuk, and the halacha Mishmei Sinai teaches us the details of chatzitza. 2 elements are needed to create a chatzitza, and they're supposed to be large in size, ruboy, and he has to be makbid on it. The person has to be distressed about the presence of that chatzitza. Midrabanan, even if one element is present, for instance, it's large in size, it's roif, or he is makbid, is considered chatzitza. And the Gemara concluded that indeed, the Halacha Mishmei Sinai teaches us shiurin chatzitza ramechitzin, meaning as follows. Shiurin, we learn about the kezayis of dam, chelev, tumas meis, various measurements which are employed in halacha. The Halacha Mishmei Sinai gives us the parameters of chatzitza. We need to have rubay and makbid. Mechitzin will teach us good, lava, daifin akuma, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, will teach us the minimum height of a mechitza, which must be 10 tefachim.